Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Brewers podcast. I know you're thinking about the Milwaukee Bucks, but Milwaukee's got, I guess, two first-place teams. If you consider a championship team a first-place team, might as well. The Brewers heading into the week this past week, they win three games at home, or I should say on the road, against the Cincinnati Reds, and then dropped two at home against Kansas City. So little odd mixed bag to start the second half. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the podcast, and on the other line is Tom Haudricourt, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tom, right off the top, head scratching a little bit. The Bucks. Look at me. The Brewers go to Cincinnati, win against their chief competition coming out of the second half in the NL Central, sweeping three games against the Reds. Everything looks great, and then they come home and drop two straight against one of the worst teams in baseball. They're now 0-4 against the Royals. What do you make of this? This is just one of those quirks that happens to good teams, I'm guessing. But man, is it weird to see them struggle against Kansas City?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the answer whenever you ask people questions about stuff like that is it's baseball. That's what they always say. It's baseball. You know, they play so many games and there's ups and downs. But it is, you know, it is a little puzzling and it is a little disconcerting because, you know, at home in particular, you know, you should be beating last place teams. And they didn't play very good baseball in either games. They looked very lackluster. You almost wondered if they were so swept up in the Bucks thing, they lost focus a little bit on their own jobs. But these guys are professionals. And we talked to Eric Lauer about that after the Wednesday loss and said, hey, you know, we know what we have to do. We're pro players. We know we have to go out and play well. So, it's always makes you wonder when a first place team loses at home to a last place team, and especially when they just don't play that well. They made some errors in the second game, gave away a bunch of runs. Offense was pretty much non-existent. So, and then what makes it, you know, even more of a red flag is now they turn around and play the best team in that division and really the best team in the American League right now, the Chicago White Sox. And they have all their top three pitchers lined up for that series this weekend, as do the Brewers. You know, it's you would think runs would be at a premium this weekend because it's some really good pitching matchups. So it'll be interesting to see how the Brewers do. You know, one thing about them, and it you know reared its ugly head in that Royals series is. It sounds weird to say this about a team that's so far over 500 and has such a big lead in its division, but on any given night, their offense, you know, seems to be on any given night, their offense can be shut down. I don't think either Mike Minor or Brad Keller will be the Cy Young Award winner in the American League this year, but one of these guys they're facing this weekend might be.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. We'll definitely talk about this very fascinating series with the White Sox. It's an interleague series, so I don't know if it's quite as significant as, say, a matchup with the Reds. But like you said, three elite pitching matchups, including a game on Sunday night on ESPN against Chicago. That'll be fun. But here's one of my takeaways from this Royals series, which, again, was kind of weird. The game time on Tuesday got moved to the afternoon. All the players went to the Bucks game Tuesday night, and then Wednesday played in the aftermath of an NBA championship. Just a very weird vibe to be out and about in Milwaukee with that going on. But Eric Lauer in that second game pitched very well. He only worked five innings, but did not allow any earned runs, struck out six. Feels like, especially with the zero walks, that was the first outing where we've really seen his control be at that level. That's four quality starts in a row, though he's still, you know, he's issued some free passes, probably more than you'd want, but four in a row isn't a huge sample, but it's starting to get to the point where I feel like Eric Lauer could be a serious contributor here. And my curiosity is for later in the season, if this Brewers team does in fact go on to a playoff spot, you've got the big three, the unquestioned big three, in Woodruff, Peralta, and Burns. And then in the playoffs, you kind of need that fourth pitcher. Adrian Hauser, on the other hand, even though the Brewers won his game against the Reds and actually have routinely scored a gajillion runs for him, Adrian Hauser has struggled a little bit. And I still think he's effective enough against right-handers that he might be the type of guy the Brewers want to use in a bullpen capacity when they get to the postseason. We're obviously a long way away from that, but I could see Eric Lauer being the left-hander, being that fourth guy, that fourth weapon as a starting option if they get into a postseason series. Maybe, I realize I'm putting a cart before the horse here, but has that crossed your mind? Do you think Eric Lauer is crossing at least into the point where they can rely on him to maybe be one of those guys at the end of the year?
Well, I don't know if anybody's looking ahead that far, but he has thrust himself into their current situation in a big way, and that being that they're trying to protect, their guy, especially the big three guys that you just mentioned. They're trying to protect these guys' arms and going from 60 games to 162, and so Lauer gives them one more guy they can plug in to provide extra rest. They've routinely gone with a six-man rotation, and they feel good about when they give Eric Lauer the ball now. He had a kind of an injury messed up season last year, COVID ball, just nothing went his way. But this year he's starting to show, why they traded for him in the first place. And when you look at what they're doing now with their rotation, like Freddy Peralta is going to pitch Friday night off of a week and a half of rest. And that's by design. He pitched in the All-Star game, and then they just decided they basically skipped him a turn in the rotation. And then Woodruff got moved behind Burns to give him an extra day because they're in essence giving him almost a week off too. So they continue, the Brewers do continue with this plan to try to protect these guys' arms and their innings. If you look across the industry, there's been all kinds of injury problems, both with pitchers and position players, actually. And so Eric Lauer is going to be a guy that's going to keep getting the ball. None of them are going to get it on a 4-day rest situation, it doesn't look like. And Brett Anderson actually throwing the ball okay too the last few times he's pitched. And he was pitching the other day on 13 days rest. So threw four good innings for him. So I do think the more options you have, the better they feel about keeping these guys spaced out. If they didn't feel good about the other options, then they might be tempted to just go back to a five-man rotation and take their chances, but they don't feel they have to do that.
The Brewers bullpen has taken some losses lately. Devin Williams' injury is going to put him on the shelf for a short period of time. Brewers aren't worried that that's going to be longer than the 10 days yet, but anytime you have a pitcher with some discomfort, it's always worrisome. Brad Boxberger appears to be okay after he left a game early with some discomfort of his own. So the Brewers bullpen, which as we've talked about already, the Brewers have already made some trades involving the bullpen. Trevor Richards was dealt, and J.P. Feiereisen earlier this year, along with Drew Rasmussen. Suddenly, Jake Cousins is like the second best guy in the bullpen. I mean, you could argue that, I guess, with Miguel Sanchez. We've talked about these guys too, but their prominence is just increasing. Jake Cousins got out of a jam on Wednesday and threw some nasty sliders. The guy is really something. I know you wrote about him at jsonline.com and wrote about him in the Red Series when he came back after a 43-minute rain delay to finish off a strikeout, which was actually kind of a, it could have been a pivot point in that game. And the Brewers, that was part of their sweep against the Reds. But Jake Cousins looks incredible, and I think the Brewers need him now. Oddly enough, they're in a position where they really have to have it. Brent Suter had a lot of hard contact against Brent Suter. He was betrayed by his defense on Wednesday, but his numbers maybe belie how hard people have been able to make contact against him this year. So he's not quite the weapon he's been in years past this season. Other guys have been up and down a little bit, but outside of Josh Hader, it might just be Jake Cousins next on the depth chart, huh?
Well, Devin Williams had routinely been the eighth inning guy, and Boxberger's been the seventh inning guy for the most part. So when they've had narrow leads and a pitcher's gone out after six innings, it's usually been Boxberger, Williams, and Hader that have finished games out. Now, as you noted, Williams is on the IL. We'll see if it turns out to just be 10 days. And then Boxberger was just given a few days off after he had a little shoulder stiffness. So it'll be real interesting to see the next time he pitches how he looks, and if he just shakes it off and he's fine again. But in the meantime, as you noted, they've had to use some other guys. Cousins, they definitely feel comfortable with in any type of game situation now. And his slider is unhittable. I mean, you look at that pitch, and he's just given up hardly any hits off of it. Right-handed hitters are really in trouble with that slider. So, I think, like most contending teams, the Brewers will look to augment the bullpen by the trade deadline. Relief pitchers are kind of the ones that get traded the most towards the trade deadline because teams are trying to fortify their bullpen. And I do think the Brewers feel like they're on the edge of their depth there, you know, that they don't have a ton more options behind these guys. And so wouldn't surprise me at all if they do a bullpen move. And then another guy that we didn't mention who, you know, he finally gave up some runs today, Hunter Strickland. He's been very good. And they, you know, he gave up a two-run homer the other day. And that's the first time he's been scored on in 12 outings with the Brewers. So he was probably due to give up a run. But they, you know, he's been around, he's pitched in high leverage a lot during his career. So he's also in the back of that bullpen pitcher. But there's no question that they, you know, feel way more comfortable when they have Boxberger and Williams available.
As for other injuries, guys who've been out for a while might be due to come back kind of soon. Lorenzo Cain is in Nashville and presumably he'll be called up to back to the Brewers. You know, once they're satisfied with the injury rehab assignment he's on, he'll be back very soon. You also have Daniel Vogelbach and Travis Shaw with some longer term injuries. Pretty soon, those guys, I imagine, are going to be ready for something similar. I'd be curious to know if there's still room on the roster for specifically those two guys, Shaw and Vogelbach, if those guys are going to figure into the plans if they do get healthy, and if Kane comes back. Brewers have been, you know, taking their time getting Lorenzo Kane back, making sure he is 100%. If that spells doom for Jackie Bradley Jr., who just hasn't gotten it going offensively, and you know, at some point they are going to start to face a roster crunch. They've gotten production out of guys that you maybe wouldn't have expected. Luis Urias, Jace Peterson comes to mind. Guys that you know you gotta keep them in some prominent roles the way that they've performed. I don't know what the plan would be if Lorenzo Cain is healthy or when those other two guys come back. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, they're probably going to have to ease Kane back in. He's not going to come back from injury rehab and like play seven games in a row. That's not going to happen. He'll probably play a game, like get a day off, then play a couple of games and get another day off, and make sure his legs literally are under him because that's where he's had his health issues with his legs this year. So, but I, you know, he was supposed to be, you know, the primary center fielder with Jackie Bradley Jr. the one fighting for playing time, and just, you know, he's just been hurt most of the year. So, you know, I do think that they are expecting him to come back and be a contributor. You know, he was a figured to be a key part of the team entering the season before he had these injuries, and it will be interesting just to see how all the positions shake out, and especially if they trade for any help, you know, position player wise. You know, first base continues to be kind of a mess. You know, Hira, you know, hasn't gotten going like they hoped he would. Vogelbach's hurt. Peterson's not really a first baseman, but they've played him over there some. Rowdy Tellez hasn't played a ton since they traded for him. It looks like he's been more of a bat off the bench. He's a guy that also has minor league options. So, you know, if they're going to add a position player who they think would have any impact, you'd almost think it would have to be at first base because they feel okay about the other positions. You know, Wong, as long as Wong's healthy, he's really good at second. Adames has been their best player at short. You know, Urias, they really like the way he's handled the bat. You know, unless they get a corner infielder like a Chris Bryant who can play both first and third, you know, then you could let them share at bats at both corners. So it remains to be seen how motivated they'll be to go after an impact position player, or if they'll just go strictly for pitching and try to just be to improve their run prevention even more. I could see that, you know, where they say to themselves, we think Kane's going to contribute, we think Yelich is going to come around, we'll figure out first base, we're okay with Urias. You know, I could see them. If the price is too high and they don't get the player that they want, not making a huge move position player wise, but making some substantial pitching moves. I could see him doing that because they always seem to do the opposite of what you think they're going to do.
Yeah, they sure do. He does. David Stearns has not cared for positional, you know, certainty at all. Like if you've got four third basemen, that's fine. They'll make it work. They've done it before.
I mean, they that's why they call it the position player group. You know, they don't say starters and bench. They say position player group because they consider them all interchangeable parts. So it will be interesting. And, And you have to have matches to make trades. And there's lots of other contending teams that are going to be looking for exactly what the Brewers are looking for, a bat and an arm.
Yeah, it's crazy because you mentioned Kenseth Hira. I can't even imagine thinking before a season that this Brewers team might be a playoff, well, is at this point very much a playoff contending team, and that Kenseth Hira might be a guy that you're not going to have on the big league team or on the playoff roster. I mean, that's a guy who you know, if they were to get a first base bat, pretty simple calculus there. You'd probably send him back to AAA. He's already used his option year this year, so you know, there's nothing lost there. He's still just trying to he's fighting it quite a bit. Chris Bryant, that name you mentioned, I mean, there is no more perfect fit for what the Brewers are looking for. It's completely unclear if the Cubs would sell within the division. I mean, at this point, we think the Cubs are going to sell, although they've won a couple out of the break. Maybe they do end up changing their minds. You never really know what the Cubs are going to do or what other teams in the division are going to do. But man, that guy is like exactly what the Brewers need, isn't he?
Yeah, because he can play first and third,
Right.
and be a right-handed bat, to mix in with all their left-handed bats they have. So yeah, I mean, he is a perfect fit for what they need. Would the Cubs trade him to the Brewers? Could they sell that to their fans? It would all depend on what the return was, and because if the Cubs are going to sell players anyway, what difference does it matter who they sell them to? And the Brewers, if that kind of makes Cubs fans go, why are you helping the Brewers? Well, if you're breaking your own team down, then you're disqualifying yourself as a contender. So, and we're talking about for 2 months too. It's not like, oh, he's gonna go to the Brewers with 5 years of control and he's just gonna wear us out for the next 5 years. So we're talking about 2 months, and you just have to wonder, what is it worth giving up for 2 months of any established player? You know what? But I mean, games like the last 2 days have to make the team, the decision makers nervous about the offense, because the offense just is too susceptible to being shut down.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was all prepared to talk on this podcast about how the Brewers are now the runaway in the NL Central because they had just swept the Reds and everybody was 7.5 games back at worst or at best. And you had to think this team was well on their way to the playoffs. I mean, I'm sure their odds are still very, very good to win the Central and make the playoffs. But then the two Royals games and, you throw in the Tigers in there, they split against the Tigers. So they're 1-5 against the two bottom feeders in the American League Central. And like we said, Chicago White Sox are not that. That is a team who also has a big lead in the American League Central.
Yeah.
Fascinating team. They've had injuries. Yasmani Grandal, former Brewers catcher, won't be available because he's one of the many, many White Sox who've been battling injury. Luis Robert's another one. But their pitchers, man, are really, really good, and the Brewers are fighting fire with fire. I don't know if that was intentional. I think it was just what you were talking about earlier. Give guys rest. It just happened to fall this way. But I don't know if we're gonna have a takeaway from the White Sox Brewers series over the next 3 days, other than two great teams going at it. It's not gonna inform anything. But this is kind of where it's at. I don't know if in the Bucks afterglow people realize how competitive this series could be, and how exciting it would be to see these pitching matchups.
Yeah, and it's usually when you talk about Chicago and the Brewers, it's the Cubs, right?
Right.
That's the team that gets the Brewers fans all worked up, and their fans get the Brewers fans all worked up when they come and interlope at American Family Field. So the White Sox, are probably off the radar of some fans, especially because they're over in the other league. But they, especially considering the injuries they've had to their position players, as you've just mentioned. They're very, very good and very similar in what they have on their pitching front to the Brewers. And both teams have all-star closers too, Hader and Liam Hendricks too. So, I mean, these are two powerhouse pitching staffs that are going to be going in. I mean, when is the last time the Brewers have played a three-game series, and we've seen pitching matchups like this?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, the Mets just facing DeGrom once
Right.
was exceptional, But yeah, they're not seeing powerhouse aces throughout the course of a series like they will this weekend.
Yeah, the day that they either the day before or after they faced Jacob deGrom, I'm in New York, the Brewers faced Robert Stock, so I don't think he qualifies as a Giolito, a Rodon, or a Lance Lynn.
No, it's going to be a special time. Tony La Russa returning to one of his favorite baseball venues, American Family Field.
Yeah. I wonder if he'll complain about the new lights. You know, they have new lights.
He should be happy. They're different now. They're not as annoying or something. I don't know. But of course, longtime manager of the Cardinals. Do you see any signs of life before I let you go? We'll wrap it up here. Any signs of life from these other teams in the National League Central? We know the Pirates are not a factor. The Reds, you know, they haven't exactly started out hot after losing to the Brewers, and they dropped a couple since then as well. The Cubs, you know, look like they're in sell mode. The Cardinals haven't put it together. Do you see anything that suggests to you that the Brewers should be concerned specifically about this team more than the other two?
Well, the Cardinals are a team to keep an eye on just because the Brewers have so many games left with them. You know, they play each other 10 times in September. Did you know that?
No, jeez.
10 times. And I
And
think,
0 times against the Reds. They'll be done with the Reds in August.
right. But 10 times against the Cardinals, and I think 13 more overall. So that means the Cardinals would have the say in it. You know what I mean? That, you know, like the Reds, once they play that one last series against the Brewers, they're going to need help. You know, but the Cardinals won't need help. But the question is, can they muster up enough to do anything? I mean, none of them have made any kind of push. You know, the Reds, you know, really piqued your interest by winning those last three games in Milwaukee before the break, and then they, you know, with the prime opportunity to jump right back in the race, they blow leads in each of the first two games against the Brewers, and then get blanked by Corbin Burns. So, you know, they're the team that looked like they were ready to pounce, and instead they fell back.
Yeah, it's still a good situation for the Brewers, even after back-to-back losses to Kansas City. But we'll see how they do against the White Sox. They've lost 5 in a row at American Family Field, so they're due maybe to bounce back a little bit this weekend. He is Tom Haudricourt, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Find everything he has at jsonline.com. Lots of Brewers coverage. We know you're into the Bucks right now, but that's going to change here. Bucks madness will wind down, and it'll be the first place Brewers that a lot of people are thinking about at that point. So no podcast next week. Just gonna be honest with you. I'm going on vacation, baby. So we will come back to this after the trade deadline, find out what changes the Brewers have made, if any, and take a look at the race at that point. Tom, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks, JR.
Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating and review. You can find Tom on Twitter at Haudricourt. You can find me at JR Radcliffe. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you again soon. Bye-bye.